We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the
day. Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad for us. And our guest this morning is our beautiful sister in Christ, Sister Judy Gifford Parker. How are you doing this morning?
Well, I am alive.
Thank you.
Thank God for being alive.
Amen to that. Amen. Thank you for coming on short notice. We appreciate you.
Thank you. Love you, girls.
Love you. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can put it in the comments, and you can send it in a private message to our Facebook. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that posted shortly after the program has ended. Our sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work by a company with Christian values. Remember to like, share, and comment so that we know you are tuned in. I think I covered it all. Would you pray to start us out?
Yes. Father, today we come before you, and as many times before, we humble ourselves before you and know that we are nothing. You are everything. We are the clay, and you are the potter. Today, I thank you for the opportunity of speaking, Lord, over this internet, and I ask you, Lord Jesus, that you would be glorified, that everything that's said here would not be to our good or our glory, but for you, Jesus, that your kingdom might be built, that souls might be touched. God, bless Monica and Tina, bless me, and bless the hearer today, and be glorified in all that's said. Quicken our mind. Show us, God. Use us for your glory. We give ourselves to you for this amount of time, for this day, God, to be what you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning, Endurance.
Endurance. My, what a word. Last night when I was thinking about this, after we text, the word just popped up to me. I remember reading a book about a man named Shackelford, and I don't know if y'all have heard this story or not, but he was the captain of a ship, and he had a mission to get to the South Pole, and I don't know what all was supposed to happen there, but he had prepared and packed, and I mean, they had a crew. They not only had crew, they had sleighs, they had dogs, they had a doctor, they had a photographer, they had like about 13 different people or so, 13 to 15 people on this ship to accomplish what it was that they were going to accomplish. This book is I would suggest it. It doesn't even talk about God, but it talks about the human personable ability. I know God had to help them to endure. These men took off. They had one stowaway, and they took off for the South Pole. They got so far, and the sea had frozen, and they literally became frozen, this boat, in the sea. They were stuck there, and they didn't know for how long. They didn't know what, you know, was happening. Well, before long, I mean, in the book, they do things like put on plays, and of course, they have a lot of food on board and stuff, so they try to go ahead and live normal life. They'd even get out on the ice and play football and play games, you know, and the photographer got pictures of all that. But what started happening is this ice began to push on the boat, and they'd hear this crackling, and they were like, and the sea was actually begin to break up the boat. And so the sea started breaking the boat. They finally realized they had to get out of the boat. And that was their sleeping, that was everything. But they had to take what they could, they get their dogs and their sleds and their everything they had and get out of the boat. And to talk about the emotions of that, of knowing you're saying goodbye, you're stepping out on a frozen ocean. And so that's what they did. And they got to, they had to cook on that ice. They had to do everything trying to get to land. I don't know how they knew their directions, but apparently they did. But anyway, they started out and they were trying to get to a certain island that they knew was there. It was just horrendous to walk with these people through this in this book and these emotions. Rhonda DeSalvo bought that book for my husband for Christmas one year. It's like it has pictures of everything. And as these men, they make their way across the ocean, they finally decide that they find some they finally get to an island, and Shackelford, they make a way where they can have a place to sleep, and they make do with what they have. Anyway, there was a lot. There had to be a surgery on. There's a lot of things that happened during this time. One, there was a doctor, and one guy had to have surgery. It was all kinds of things. Well, Shackelford decided that he would try to go and take another man with him, and they would try to go and get back to the mainland, where they were supposed to be, where they sail from. And so he took one of the little boats that they had with them. They took a little boat off the big boat. They took that boat, and they started. And I mean, trying to get back there. They got to enough fresh water to try to get there. They finally make it to this island 1 year, literally 1 year after they left. And after they got that boat froze, 1 year, they made it back to that island. I mean, he talked about a hoosh. They had to somehow get fish and make some kind of hoosh. Sounds horrible that they had to drink and eat in order to have strength. He had lost, like, the weight that he had lost. Hadn't shaved in a year, you know. And anyway, they get there in this huge, huge rock. They finally get to this island. There's a huge rock, and they finally find a way to get up, and they can see the place where they came from. And as they begin, they were so weak, and by the time they got down to where they were, people were afraid of them. They looked horrible. They didn't know who they were. But when they found them, we thought you were long dead. And they wind up, you know, feeding them and helping them and giving them a celebration and all. And then he's going, but I got men that I promised to go back for. I got 13 men that I got to go back for. And so they, he worked at getting a Spanish ship and getting another crew and to get to these men. And one that would, a boat that could break the ice, a boat that could get to through the ice. Anyway, these guys, now they were waiting. And they said they would go up to the hill, and he would look, and they had a flag pulled up, something to make a flag, and pulled up, and they'd go, and they'd stand and look, and say, he's not here, he's not on the horizon. But finally one day, they go, he's here, celebrate. And they said, should I take this? Don't take nothing. And they said, Shackelford, come and look at how we've made this. Get on board, you know. Just, and so they got on board, and he wound up getting every man home. Everybody survived that 1 year. Total horrible thing. Endurance. And if you can find the book, it is like breathtaking. I'm wanting Aaron to read it, and I've got it somewhere in the house, I think. I haven't found it yet. But anyway, among my 1,000 books, but I haven't really looked. But anyway, I thought of that word endurance. You know, it's something like that for us. Jesus said, I'll come back. And I will get you, and I will take you to be with me. But you know, it's been a long time. He's been gone, and we've waited. I've waited a long time for his coming, and I'm hungry to see him. I'm wanting to see him. But we have got to endure. The Bible says here, he that endureth till the end, the same shall be saved. It didn't say a lot of things. It said simply, he that endureth So that means there's going to be some things that are hard. It's not going to be he that had fun till the end. You know, he that did this or that till the end. No, he that endures. And that's going to include a lot of things. Some of them are going to be good. Of course they are. But there's going to be some stuff that's rough. There's going to be some stuff we don't understand. There's going to be some stuff that we don't know why God's allowed it. We don't know why this happened or that tragedy happened or this happened. We don't know why the losses and the hurt. We don't know why Jesus hasn't come yet. We don't know a lot of things. And we have to take it by faith. That's why we live by faith, not by sight. If God explained it all to us, we probably still wouldn't understand. I had someone said that. She said, God, please tell me. Please tell me why. So, and he said, if I explained it, you wouldn't get it. And it's kind of like trying to explain math to Sassy. You know, she isn't going to get it. It's way above her mental capacity. And God, he said, my thoughts aren't your thoughts. And your thoughts aren't my thoughts. And there's things you can't see that I can see. I can see down the road. I can see further than you. And someone even told me about Hezekiah. Remember when Hezekiah, the prophet came to him and said, set your house in order, you're going to die. Mm. And he turned his face to the wall and he began to cry out to God. And he began to say, oh God, I've served you. God, be faithful to me. God, I want to live. And God said, turn around to the prophet. Go back and tell him I'll give him 15 years. So his cry, let me tell you, there's something about crying out to God. There's sometimes to call a prayer partner, and I am really way too big on the scripture that says where two agree on earth is touching anything, because it kind of got to the point living by myself that I thought I couldn't pray by myself. You know, that I mean, I could pray, but I mean, I always want somebody to pray with me about something, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But there's times there ain't nobody there. And you got to touch God. And you got to touch God for yourself. And that's what Hezekiah did. The prophet wasn't no help. He just got through saying, you're going to die. You know, set your house in order. He didn't say, I'm here to pray you into victory, brother. He just said, so there's times that we have got to call out to the Lord ourselves. And what a sweet thing. When we call out to him and his presence is there. Isn't that wonderful? Mm. To call to him. And then he comes and he says, it's okay, baby. I'm with you. Do not fear. That sweet peace that rolls over your soul. And you know that you've heard from God. Because when God says it, that's enough. Mm. He is God. He is God alone. There was a message in tongues given to us on the phone. By a little pastor in Texas, and he was just praying and started talking in tongues and then gave the interpretation. And the Lord said, I am God, I am God alone. You know, sometimes we get thinking there's other entities that might have some power. A lot of the world does that. They think there's Buddha. They think there's Muhammad. They think there's someone else that they can call to, or even they trust in their friends or their doctors or whatever. And God wants us to know he's God. Yeah. He's the one that created the heavens. He's the one that created the world. He's the one that his word, just his word, he spoke this world into existence. I always think of him getting down with his hands, making this and forming that, but he didn't. He spoke it into existence. And God said. And every time it says, and God said, and whatever he said happened. God said, let there be light. And there was light. Can you imagine? Mm. It's hard, really. I'm like, God, I want to know you more. You're so great. I can't even imagine. I can't imagine. And my world gets smaller and smaller. The less faith we have, the smaller our world gets. The smaller we have answers to reach for, because sometimes there's no answers. There's just no answer. They don't have an answer. You look to them, they don't have an answer. God, you're the only one that has the answer. And as long as I keep looking at them, I'm frustrated because they look at me and go, sorry, can't do anything. But you know what? He can with one word. Amen. That's all he has to do. And I think I've had to come to the place, and maybe every one of us have had to come to the place, where we just say, you know what, Lord? I'm falling on your mercy, and I trust your grace. And whatever you do with me is right. And the little song comes to me that says, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. See his word? It's written here. If we can believe it, we can receive it. Amen. If we can grasp it and believe it. One lady told me when I was young, teaching me, she said, everything that's there was written for us. So you can take it, put your name on it, and say, I claim it. And I actually did that when my little son had a hernia, needed a surgery, and I went, put his name, and started writing names on scriptures. We had a revival. I took him forward for prayer, and God healed the hernia. He had warts on his hands, over 25 warts on his hands. Embarrassed with that. You know how a wart is such a nasty, aggravating thing to have on you anyway, but 25 on your hands? So we took him with us because he didn't want to go to school, so he didn't feel good. So we took him with us to Denver and went to a minister's meeting. And as they were giving the altar call, they asked for everyone who wanted prayer. And my little boy, Brad, said, Mama, I want to go. I want to go. And so how can I deny that child? We were going to slip out early and go eat with somebody, a friend, and we couldn't do that. We had to take him down for prayer. So we went down, and as I stood in line with him, I began to pray, and I said, God, this child has faith for you to do this. I don't, but I know that his faith is enough. And I prayed like that. And so we went home. Nothing happened after they prayed, and so we went home. But the next morning, he came running to me, showing me his hands. Not a wart, not one on his hands. You know, where do you turn to? The doctors could have spent months removing those, probably, but God did it in a night, in his timing. And so anyway, go back to the little song. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. We don't know why things happen. Why did the ocean freeze under them? Well, they didn't have the right boat. You can start saying, well, this happened, that happened. Well, they didn't do that right, and they didn't do that right, and that's what happened. Well, I don't know what happens. We just have trouble in this life. Sometimes it's our own doing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's our own mistakes. Sometimes it's somebody else did wrong. I noticed a sign on your door. Are you suffering from someone else's addiction? As I walked in. Sometimes we have trouble because someone else in the family's got a problem. And it causes us consternation or trouble or concern. Anyway, we all go back to this. And this stands above it all. And we go back to 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And keep praying. Keep enduring. Keep waiting. Keep watching. Keep believing. Endure. The Bible says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. There's another scripture that says, be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. And chapter 2 of Revelations talks about being faithful and the rewards in chapter 3, and the rewards that come from being faithful. And then he talked to the churches. There were 7 churches of Asia. And each one of those churches he commended them for something. He criticized them for something. And then he instructed them. And then he promised them a reward. And I thought that was so very interesting that Jesus looked at them and at the church. And I'm thinking, well, these were church people. This wasn't the bar he went to. And said, y'all people, these are the things wrong with you. He went to the church house. And he went to these churches in these towns. And he said, the 7 churches of Asia to, let me just read these. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the 7 stars in his right hand and who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear them who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience, and have labored for me, my name's sake, and have not become weary. That was his commendation for them. Nevertheless, I have against you that you left your first love. And it says, remember therefore from whence you have fallen, and repent and do your first works. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your candlestick from its place unless you repent. And we don't think of God sometimes as correcting us, but loving parents correct their children. They come to them and they correct them. Why do we correct them? Because we want them to be right. We want them to do well. We want them to not get snagged in something that's going to ruin their lives. And so we correct them. We want them to know how to behave in public. We want them to know what things are dangerous to stay away from. We want them to know what aspirations they can have, to things they can accomplish. So we're always correcting and encouraging. And that's what the Lord does here. But he's telling these people, man, you've done good in this area. I'm really proud of you here. And I think the Lord, a lot of us, he looks at it and he's proud of our accomplishments. I think he's proud of our progress. I don't think he says, shame on you, you naughty people. But I do think there are times that he says, now listen, we got to correct this. This has been a hindrance, and this is in the way. And we've tolerated this for a while. I've tolerated this for a while in you because I've given you space to learn. But now it's time. Let's step up. Let's step up. One more, you know, let's correct this. And he tells these people, you've left your first love. Now it's time to go back and to do your first works again. What were the first works? What do you think the first works were again? In my mind, the first works were to go back and say, God, I repent of sin. I turn away from those things that I've fallen to. I turn away from a hard heart. I turn away from not listening to you, because that's what everybody in sin does. They don't listen to God. They do their own thing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they try to hear God and they hear the enemy and they don't know the difference between one or the other. And I had someone just recently tell me, how do you know it's God? Well, I know God. How do you know? Well, and she was calling something of God that was not of God. And then she said to me, how do you know? Well, if you know God, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, sometimes he tells us, turn around, go back. Go back to the altar. Make a fresh repentance to me. Let's lay aside some of the things. The Bible says, lay aside the things that does so easily beset us. And run the race with patience. Because there's some things that beset us. You know, if we'll let them, if we don't jump up and say, wait, no. I refuse to be that kind of person. You so easily, the enemy can come in, and particularly to teenagers and a friend and someone, do this here. Let's take some of this. Let's do some of this. Let's do whatever. And no. To make a stand and put on the whole armor of God, the scripture says, that we may stand against the wiles of the devil. Because he comes at us in ways that, first, are not fair. The devil's not fair. He's not playing a fair game with you. And he's not playing a game. But he really is intending to steal your soul. That is his purpose. He wants you in hell. Why? He hates you. Why does he hate you?
He hates God.
He hates God.
And God loves us.
And God loves you.
We are the apple of God's eye, and he hates that.
And doesn't it hurt? Doesn't it hurt God? Mm-hmm. If we were lost and to be... He made us to spend eternity with him. Mm-hmm. And everybody that goes to hell, it hurts God's heart.
He desires all of us to be with him again.
Yes.
In heaven.
And be connected.
And home.
Yes.
And the enemy does his best to get us to separate ourselves from God and turn away from God. And the enemy really goes hard to try to harden our hearts toward our Father.
Right.
And
truth.
The sweetest thing, Sister Judy, is when we soften enough to hear. Come home.
Gentle, sweet voice.
Yeah. When we hear the whisper of our Father say, just come home.
Mm-hmm.
And we turn to that voice. And we begin to allow that voice to soften our heart again.
Yes.
And draw us back home. Yes. There's a constant drawing. And it's up to us to soften ourselves enough to hear that.
To hear that. Amen.
And, you know, it's like for me, I don't know about y'all, but for me, there's like a pull.
Mm-hmm.
Like a tug of war pull.
Right.
You know, God holds my hand.
Uh-huh.
And the devil is over here trying to pull me out.
Mm-hmm. With anything he can find to do. He's just looking for anything.
Yes. And I know for me, lately, I've been battling. You know, I've been in a battle, a struggle, whatever you want to call it. You know, and I know that when I'm going through that, that there's something better.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the enemy starts coming at me, why this? You know, if this,
uh-huh.
if God loved you, he, you know, when he why starts accusing mm-hmm. my God,
he does that's my clue. Too. That is one of his tricks, is when any bad thing happens, he, in your ear, blames God when he's the one who did it.
Yes.
He's the one who did it. It's kind of like the Democrats. Oh. I'm sorry. How'd that slip out? but they learned it from the devil.
And you know, most recently, I've been just struggling staying. And the Lord told me the other day, yesterday, as I was watching the program, and I looked at the picture, and he said, nothing you go through and nothing that comes at you is going to change that. Listen. Nothing is going to change the fact that I died for you.
That's sweet.
And that I rose again.
Uh-huh.
And that tomb, my tomb is empty.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm with you.
Right. I'm not there. I'm
just,
here.
You just hold on. Mm-hmm. Just stay with me.
Endure.
Stay in the boat, Monica.
Amen.
We're going to the other side. You just stay
That's
in the
right.
boat.
That's
stay
right.
with me.
Be still. There's a time to just be still and know he is God. Mm-hmm. We've tried to fix it. We've worried. We've fretted. We've done all of this. We get ourselves in a tether. And God says, wait. Be still. Trust me. Know I am God. No, and that when he gave me that, I was told I had precancerous condition. My uterus was 17 centimeters. They were sending me to the women's clinic. And I went up to the women's clinic 4 times and got an intern just talking to me every time. And I told that little lady finally, I said, I think I need surgery. And she said, well, if you want surgery, we can give you surgery. And I'm like, that was as wrong could be. I mean, they're supposed to tell me I need surgery. You're supposed to know something about me. And so anyway, I thought death is better than this. Going to heaven is better than this. And I just made my, I'm done. So I drove home. I went to the church. I got on the piano and I started mm-hmm. just playing and loving on Jesus. And I'll tell you what, a lot of healing does come through praise. And I was just loving on him and thinking about that. I'd thrown that over my shoulder. And I was just loving on Jesus. And this little tune started coming to me. Da, 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 da. I'll go, oh, that's pretty. Da, 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 da. Oh, and I just went on. Da, 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 da. You might recognize it. I don't know. And da, 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 da. Da, 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 And then I did that. I played it several times, and then words started coming. Be still, be still, and know I am God. Be still, be still, and know I am God. If you ask in Jesus' name, anything is yours to claim. Be still, be still, and know I am God. I just sang and loved the Lord, lived my life, went 5 years. Immediately, the bleeding and all the problems I was having, they cleared up. I went on with my life, didn't go back to the doctor for 5 years, and that's probably stupid, I mean, in some people's estimation, but I was just done with that. It was like Kathy. Kathy, in our church, Jennifer's grandmother, they told her she had cancer in every muscle in her body. They took out the, I don't know whatever it was, but the cancer, they took the tumor out, but they said she also had it all over her body. And so we'd actually had someone prophesy not actually stood up and prophesied, but came to some of us and said, everybody in this church that has cancer is going to be healed. Mm. And anyway, just during regular church services sometime, apparently the Lord healed her. She went back to the doctor, and they gave her another scan, another test, and there's not a sign of cancer in her body. Mm. Not a sign of cancer in her body. And what she was doing, and I told her, look here, healed of the Lord, when I saw her. And she said, what? And I said, you're the healed of the Lord. She said, oh, yeah. Oh, I knew he was going to do it. I'm like, you know, just that simple. I'm like, hey, come here. Let me swipe you, see if I can get some of that faith on me. I need some of that. Come here. Because when they give you I can't help you, this is stage four, you're... I'm sorry. That's what my oncologist told me last time I saw him. I'm sorry. And I said, how long? And so he said, well, and he gave me some numbers, and he said, but I'm not God. Mm. And I text my friend, and she said, that's right. He is not God. And so you know what you do there? You have to trust.
Amen.
And you have to get to the place you say, okay. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And if I go home, I'm going home. It's okay. But you know what? That's not an easy place to come to. Mm-mm. But still, we go back to just be still and know I'm God. And, well, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to take the dog dewormer? Do you want me to? What? I don't know. What all I should? I will. Just show me, Lord, whatever you want me to do. And I may still do some things if he directs me, but I don't know. I just know he's God. Mm-hmm. He is God, mm-hmm. and we trust him. And we don't know what tomorrow holds, but just like Iris Stanfield said, he said he had lost his wife. His wife was a beautiful woman, and they sang together, and together they wrote the song, "There's Room at the Cross for You." There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. But she was very beautiful, had a very beautiful voice. Something began to happen in her heart. The devil began to work on her, and she divorced Ira. She first started carousing around with other people. She eventually divorced him and remarried and started singing in bars. And at 20-something years old, she stepped out of a bar and was hit by a car and went into eternity. And I'm like, you know what? The devil will try to do anything. But what must we do? We must turn him aside. I don't know if she was so proud and... But look at the vessel she had been for God. And so what we have to do is go, you know what? No matter what, for everybody, nobody knows how long you're going to live. Nobody. Mm-hmm. So what we've got to do is go, Jesus, as for me and my house, we're serving you. And make that commitment and tell the devil, there isn't any way. Get out of here. And just keep on serving God.
Amen.
Endure.
Wouldn't now be a good time for some prayer request, Miss Judy?